Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Bengals fans are amazing. They're resilient, they're tough, but they're fun. And I'm really excited to hopefully meet a lot more of you.
Isaac has the big game. Then we became a real balanced offense for the playoff run, which I thought was really important.
He put on the greatest route running exhibition I have ever seen in my life.
He was football 24/7, and that was the greatest part of Chad.
At times, the early part, I would tell him when we were throwing deep passes, I said, don't wait too long, you know, because I'm going to get away. He ain't going to have the arm to get there. So, you know, I want to run to the ball, you know.
Well, it looks like Duke's in a waiting room. I don't want to keep Duke waiting. He gave us a very limited amount of time. I know he's a busy, busy man. Duke, what's going on, big dog? How you doing, buddy?
Jim, how are you, man? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, hey. I'm real busy. I'm sitting on my porch.
Yeah, well, hey. Have a little drink going on there.
You know, Joe Burrow has played in big games his entire life, and I would think he will be a steady hand at the bow of the ship. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they take him all the way to the Super Bowl. I really wouldn't.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Talking Football with Bengal Jim and Friends. Playoff edition. Divisional round this week against the Buffalo Bills. It's time to eat some Buffalo meat, Tom. So real quick, go through here. We got Austin Elmore coming in talking to us. We're going to do a little update on the Marks segment. We're going to talk some charity stuff with Tony. We're going to talk about the tailgate this past week, which unbelievable. We're talking about the game this past week, and we're going to really dive into the Bills game this weekend as well. Tom, go ahead and take it from there, buddy.
No, monstrous win, an epic win over a hated division rival in the wild card round this past weekend. So with probably the most memorable single play in Bengals history. But we're going to get into that. We need help from you in the audience. Certainly NFL films and NFL historians are going to name that play. Seen a lot of suggestions. I'm stealing this actually from Dan Ord's Twitter, but Fumble in the Jungle seems to be picking up a lot of steam and starting to being used nationally. So send in your suggestions. I know before everybody starts messaging in, do not panic. James is fine. Our leader, Bengal Jim, has dispatched him to Buffalo to do some advanced scouting in secure locations, which I think Jimmy's going to go over shortly. For a Saturday night Bengal party takeover, and also working tirelessly on securing a tailgate spot for Sunday's game. So James is fine. It wouldn't shock me, Jamie. I mean, you think probably he'll sneak over to Syracuse for a basketball game this week?
Most likely.
Yeah. But, James is back up in his home element, taking care of business for us. So don't panic. He'll be there this weekend at the game, and he'll be back with us Tuesday night.
Team player. I got to ask you guys, I don't have access to the Betfred odds, but what's a Sam Hubbard 98-yard touchdown pay on Betfred? Anyone put money down on that one?
I didn't know.
Nobody, man. Can you imagine that?
I don't even – I doubt it's an option. I mean, you can bet the defense to score a touchdown. I guess that'd be the closest you would get. But if you could pick that as an individual bet line, that'd be pretty cool.
Hey, so I'm going to mess with James a little bit. Tony and Mark know where he's at. He's out in Arizona. He is now professionally called Baseball James. I think he's out there playing baseball with a bunch of 90-year-olds. I don't know. He might be the youngest guy out there. I don't know. He might be able to hit against these guys.
They haven't even played baseball.
It is raining. He said the fields were messy. But he will absolutely be in Buffalo this weekend. He'll be in Saturday. So be safe traveling, bud. We'll see you Saturday. So let's go ahead and kick this off. What now?
He's already there. He's already in Buffalo.
He flew the helicopter there, man. He got there early. So let's talk about on this date in Bengal history, Tom. One of my all-time favorite coaches, not my favorite head coach, but one of my favorite coaches, January 17th, 1997, left the city near West Virginia and came back to the Cincinnati Bengals. Who was that?
Edmund Dick LeBeau. His good friend Bruce Coslett enticed him to leave the chin, Pittsburgh, and come back and implement that Blitzburg defense here. Sadly, it never really took hold. I can remember when he came, he said to properly install it would take 5 years. And it just never really took hold. He ended up going back to a little more traditional 4-3 with the linebackers that we had and hit some fairly good defenses, but never worked. And in 2000, when Bruce resigned, he took the lead and, you know, kind of sputtered and gave us Marvin Lewis, really.
Yeah, one of the all-time player-friendly players. Love Dick LeBeau, man. They absolutely, no matter where he went, Hall of Famer for the Detroit Lions, I think, if I'm not mistaken. This guy was just loved by every player that he coached. So, all right. I tell you what, let's go ahead and hit some of the cherry. Hey, Tony, you okay hitting on some of the cherry? Or let's go ahead and knock this one out, man. It's just an amazing, amazing year. We're still not done. Got a lot of things going on. But let's talk about the charity real quick.
Yeah, so this weekend was phenomenal. Like you said, the tailgate was massive. We continued our effort for our first responders. We continued that donation to the Tri-State Peer Support Team, which they help our first responders stay well mentally and physically as they progress and do their job on a daily basis. So earned almost $5,000 for them already for that group. So it was awesome. And then, you know, we had a little special presentation, Jimmy, I think, at the tailgate where we celebrated our $118,000 this year. You know, we started out, we had a goal of 75, and I do recall there was a very smart person that said that we were going to go over 100, and you all thought I was crazy, but here we are sitting at 118,000, and we still got the postseason to go through, so I'm very excited to see where we hit the end this year. So.
That's crazy.
It's awesome to Who Dey Nation and appreciate everybody's support and effort on that.
Yeah, I just
good again, job on just, that, guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, to reiterate what Tony said, I mean, this has been absolutely amazing. And this isn't any one person or us on a group. We're just bringing this stuff to the table for you guys. And just unbelievable amount of participation locally, nationally, and even internationally in these charities. So, and you know, what's really been cool about some of this stuff that, I mean, we talked about this before, but not just the dollars raised, but the awareness, because, you know, Tony brought that, you know, idea of bringing the first responders to the table the last week or so. Guys, I guess if I would have thought about it, I would have known the stuff that they see and the stuff that they deal with day in and day out. And I mean, they need help. They need help to kind of get through some of these situations and scenarios. And that's the charity that was brought to the table this past week again, man. Stuff.
And like you said, Jimmy, you know, what we experienced a few weeks ago affected all of us just for that little event that occurred at Paul or at Paycor. Imagine if you had to deal with that on a daily basis. So yeah. You know, it's amazing that they got this this support system to be able to do this. And, you know, it's our 25th charity. 25 different charities have been able to receive these funds. So it's amazing.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, again, thanks, everybody, for participating in that. And Bengals Nation coming together and helping out these charities is actually fun to watch, and it's awesome. So let's go ahead and let's talk about Hey, Mark, go ahead and talk about this week, man, this past week. I know you didn't get a chance to do it. We've had a lot of stuff going on, but talk about the tailgate. Talk about some of the stuff that went on this past week in Houdet Nation. There was a lot of it.
Oh, man, it was a great week for us, for me and you. It started out Friday night at the Christian, was it Marline Lager House? They had the Bengals pep rally. It was amazing. It's Joseph Severlay, Gold Star was there. I mean, it was an amazing time. And then, Sunday, I think we started about 11 a.m. I started going around the city, gathering up supplies, chili and whatnot. And man, the tailgate was amazing. The turnout, it had to be at least 3,000 people down there. Jonathan India stepped through, TJ Hushman Zada. So I do have a video and I'll release it later on social media once, but it wouldn't load. I was in the field all day for work, so I didn't get a chance to load it, but yeah, what a great time. That was an amazing time. Last year, sadly, I was in Vegas for the playoff game when we played. So this was my first time being at the stadium for a playoff victory for the Bengals. So that was really cool. And just the way it ended, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Just to be clear, what Mark missed here is that we had this huge event Friday night, me, Tony, Mark. We had a bunch of people there, just an amazing crowd. Stayed out pretty late that night as well. Mark had a birthday party, his 40th birthday party Saturday, which was a surprise party that his wife threw for him. He was out till 3 a.m. Saturday night, and he was up ready to go early Sunday because we went and picked up Gold Star, Camp Washington, went to Sam's. We went down early to set up. So,
cigar Mark, shop.
Mark is literally just getting caught up on some sleep here, guys. So,
man. It was a great weekend, though. Great weekend.
Yeah, good stuff.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So, Tom, I'm going to go ahead and do the honors. Our guest here, and I know, Mo Eggers and Tony Pike and all these guys are watching right now because they learned from this guy, right? So I'll let you do the introduction, big dog.
No, from 700 WLW and 1530 ESPN. He does a magnificent job every day with 360 at 12 noon. And also, we got to figure out a way to talk to management down there. We need him on more after Bengal games. It's not as if he doesn't do enough, but he's been doing a fantastic job after the primetime Bengal games, hosting Bengal Sports Talk after the games. And yes, he is the mentor to Tony Pike's broadcasting career and the talk host and man that Mo Egger wants to be when he grows up. So a big welcome back to the program for Austin Elmore. Thanks for coming, Austin.
Wow, thanks for having me. That is quite the introduction. It's all true. Every bit of it is true. So thank you for putting it out there.
Well, I doubt if Mo will acknowledge that. But I tell you, after Sunday, you're going on. We were just talking about Mark, but you're going on next to no sleep with your radio schedule of late. But looking at the game Sunday, you're like us. You really follow this team, and your coverage of it is fantastic. Everybody seems to be ignoring the game and talking about the play. So let's talk about that first. Where do you see that play lining up historically in the history of our Bengals?
Yeah, I've been trying to rack my mind of like all the great plays, at least since I've been around, of where it ranks. And I think with everything that was on the line, it's got to be at least in the top two or three. And I wasn't in the stadium last night. I can only imagine just how loud it was because of the timing and the moment and the feeling of the game and how it was happening. And, you know, when it, the fact that it's a postseason play and sends them to the next round, because I don't think a lot of people are talking enough about how much pressure is on the Bengals now that they've gone and done this for a year. Like, there's a lot of pressure on the Bengals to succeed and go past just winning a wild card game. The expectation, and we've heard Burrow and so many people say, the standard is winning playoff games. The standard is getting back to the AFC Championship game, is going to Super Bowls. And so there's pressure on them in a way that maybe we're not used to talking about. And a play like that with so much pressure in that moment, I just think it sends it towards the top. I mean, when you were thinking about regular season plays, one of the first that came to mind was Peter Warwick's punt return against Kansas City in 2003. And that game really didn't mean all that much other than the fact that Chad Johnson guaranteed a victory. But, you know, for a play like that in that moment, and for it to be a Cincinnati kid and the length of the field, I mean, it's top. It's the top play for me.
Yeah. I tell you, it's just, if you go back that situation, that time in the game, we got to actually, is that Tony? No, that's Sam. But the time on that, right? I mean, they're whatever it was, first or second goal from the 2 yard line. It was 17-17. Everybody in that stadium was like, oh my gosh, man, they're going to score. We got to figure out how to get our offense back on track and go down and tie the game up. At least I know that's where all of our heads were at the time. And then that play from thinking worst case scenario, and then all of a sudden, you know, flipping it was just absolutely amazing. But I want to change it a little bit here. I mean, I think where everybody's head's at right now in Hoot Day Nation, Austin, is obviously that offensive line, right, with Jonah Williams going down. We've lost our right guard. We lost our right tackle. Any updates on Jonah? Anything you can provide for us on Jonah at this point?
Well, Zach's favorite term seems to be week to week, which is a little bit less encouraging than day to day. Because day-to-day actually, you know, gives you hope that, you know, tomorrow things could change. I would be surprised if Jonah Williams plays, and he gave Alex Kappa the same designation. But this was the same injury that Jonah Williams had earlier in this season, actually against the Baltimore Ravens in week 5. He was able to come back a little bit quicker than anticipated then. And so you kind of got to cross your fingers and hope that some rest and a little bit of rehab on that dislocated kneecap can get him in the fold sooner rather than later. But I mean, let's not pretend like Jonah Williams was playing at an all-pro level. He wasn't. He had been struggling the last couple of weeks. And so when Jackson Carman goes in the game, and a guy who had played a lot of tackle when he was in college at Clemson and had played no tackle in the NFL, I thought there were a couple of plays where you're like, okay, this guy has never played tackle in the NFL. And there was a few times where I was really impressed with what Jackson Carman was able to do. So I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, Jonah Williams going down could be a blessing in disguise. I think a lot of people would be surprised if Jackson Carman comes out and plays really, really well. But at the same time, you know, it could be beneficial to the Bengals to maybe, you know, switch some things up and see what they can get out of this kid that they thought so highly enough to draft in the second round.
And it just goes into what's been happening all year with these guys. Somebody's gone down. Somebody stepped up. Somebody's gone down. Somebody stepped up.
Next, seems like next man up.
Yeah, next man up. Obviously that is a concern. If Jackson plays there, or is like, you know, Prince, whoever it's going to be at the end of the day. But let's talk about, what do the Bengals need to do offensively right now to help themselves win this game this week, with that offensive line being a little questionable.
Yeah, I mean, I put out a Twitter poll earlier today, and I asked, is the Bengals offensive line as presently constructed better or worse than the one that took them to the Super Bowl last year? And people overwhelmingly said that they're better. And you have to think, this is and Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan and Dan Pitcher, they deserve a lot of credit, because they were able to turn the terrible offensive line last year into an offense that they were able to scheme around that got them to the Super Bowl. And yes, Joe Burrow plays a huge part in that. And I think Joe Burrow is better in the pocket than he was a year ago. I think he's gotten better at throwing the ball away, gotten better at avoiding sacks. And he put his hand up last year and said, you know, a lot of these sacks are on me too. And so for me, it is kind of get back to what you did last year, which is be able to get the ball out quick, which the Bengals have done a great job of that so far this year. Maybe, you know, put those linebackers in a position in which they have to choose one or the other. I would expect to see some more RPOs that give defensive line a better chance to win at the line of scrimmage. And it can kind of negate that pass rush a little bit. So on top of all of that, though, they have to figure out their run game. I mean, they have to figure out a way to run the ball more effectively, especially going up against the Bills where, you know, everybody talks about Josh Allen and their offense. You got to be able to keep them off the field a little bit and sustain some drives where he doesn't have a bunch of chances. And, you know, we think back to that Monday night game. They settled for three, but they moved the ball really easily down the field to the Bengals in their first opening drive. And if they're going to do that, then the Bengals have to find a way a little more effectively. Don't put all the pressure on your offensive line to protect Joe Burrow and keep Josh Allen on.
Yeah, gotcha.
Hey, also, I have a question real quick. Do you think there's any chance they would move Hakeem to the left side and maybe Jackson, or do you think they'll keep Jackson Carmen on the left? And I think they should do that, but what are your thoughts?
I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know if that's a crazy idea because I think Hakeem did play a little bit of left tackle when he first came up his rookie year. So you think about that and Isaiah Prince, they have not called him up from the practice squad. And you know, there was a couple weeks ago where we thought, Isaiah Prince is going to be the starting right tackle. So with the amount of reps that Prince has at the right tackle position, started in the Super Bowl at that, I won't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that they would do something like that, especially considering the fact that Kiva Dinesi has played pretty well since he's come up. The whole question going into this week was about the right side of the offensive line. Well, all of a sudden it's because the narrative turns to the left side because Cordell Volson was struggling and Jonah Wilson was struggling, the right side wasn't. So I wonder if because of what they've seen from Hakeem Adeniji, it's a lot to ask to flip sides, but I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. That's something I brought up earlier this week as well, is when you're trying to figure out something to work, I think that's definitely a possibility.
Tony, you your question?
Tony?
Yeah, going back to your question a one ago about the running situation, looking at P. Ryan and Mixon and Evan, there's always a debate, you know, we need to get those guys in there more. What's your opinion on trying to get that there more playing time in there?
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks ago when P. Ryan was really playing well, I thought to myself, okay, this needs to be kind of to the point where it was when Joe Mixon was first getting to the NFL, where it needs to be a 50-50 split. Remember when it was him and Giovanni Bernard going particularly series by series at one point? I thought earlier in the season that's how it needs to be with him and Samaje Perine. And I think now that because the offensive line is in flux, you're going to see more Samaje Perine. He just provides more from a pass protection standpoint. And I thought we saw flashes of Joe Mixon on Sunday night where he was able to get, you know, 4 or 5 yards and fall ahead for the extra. And that's a huge, huge part of moving the chains on the ground. So for me, I still would put it at about a 50-50 split. I think you're going to see it probably 60, 75, 25 Mixon because of the fact that, you know, they have to figure out a way to the ball. But with the offensive line and you never know what type of game you're going to get into, I think P. Ryan's ability to be a pass blocker is going to be big for his playing time.
Yeah, good point. I guess, you know what? Go ahead. I know Jamie had a question. Jamie.
Oh, it's not a big deal. No, so for those who watched the Dallas game last night, we saw a record being set. 3 missed field goals, 3 extra points missed, 4 extra points missed. Obviously, Evan missed a kick in the first score of the game last week. Any concerns you're hearing about this? Like, I know there was a couple misses leading up to the playoffs. What are you thinking about this?
I'm not hearing people seem to be concerned about it, but I am definitely concerned about it just because the fact that when he was running onto the field last year, you're like, okay, 3 points, like, all right, good to go. And he just hasn't quite been that. And it's fair because it's, you know, the NFL is hard and the second time around and it's hard to match what he did last season. But, you know, with Drew Chrisman coming in, I thought that, that was going to be a big adjustment. Obviously, Cal Adamidis is the long snapper, so that whole unit is new. I think they've done pretty well, but, you know, Evan's just been a smidge off. I don't know, you know, really what to point that at, but I don't feel overwhelmingly concerned, but it is to the point now where he comes on the field, I'm going to be a little bit nervous, which I was not at all last year.
That's fair. Jimmy, go ahead.
Thanks everybody for viewing. Austin, thanks for your time here tonight. As you're watching, guys, just make sure you're typing in any questions that you have for Austin. Jamie's going to throw some questions out to Austin here from you guys here in a little bit as well. But Austin, at the tailgate Sunday night pregame, we were giving updates to the crowd, you know, of the scores and the updates. Guys, we were this close not going to Buffalo. So, I mean, talk about your thoughts of that game, because, I mean, as we didn't play our best game Sunday night, and I think Buffalo is beatable. But talk about that. Miami almost beat them and probably should have beat them.
Yeah, I said on the air going into the game that the teams that I would fear from a Bengals standpoint the most would be Baltimore and the Chargers. And here we are. Both of those teams are gone, because I think they match up really well with Buffalo. I think they match up really well with Kansas City. Jacksonville kind of has a little bit of last year's Bengals in them, so it's interesting to see how they'll play. But, yeah, Buffalo, I think the best way to describe them right now is they're just out of sync. Like, they're getting by on having the talent that they have, and they have it all over the field, certainly on defense, and we know what Josh Allen can be. So I think they're just a little bit out of sync. And I think that's going to be what's interesting about this game coming into it, is we've known Louis Anarumo now to take away whatever the opposing team does best. And so I think you'll see a game plan really similar to what you see championship game last year, where you're dropping a bunch of people, keeping Josh Allen in front of him, letting him sit back in the pocket because he loves to take chances. So I think Louis Anarumo is going to try to bait him into doing that. And on top of him, you know, loving to take chances, he turns the ball over. He's turned the ball over a lot in recent weeks. He had three fumbles on Sunday against Miami. Now, they only lost one of them. That's huge. But he also threw a couple of interceptions. He's throwing interceptions in the red zone, which is very much unlike him. And I tweeted a video a couple of weeks ago, I think, before the Monday night game of Kurt Warner kind of breaking down Josh Allen's play. And he was saying, you know, he can get away with a lot of stuff that guys – across the NFL can't, because of his arm talent, but it also puts him in a lot of those positions where he has to be perfect. His receiver has to be perfect. The defense has to be just out of position. So I think if the Bengals play fundamentally and can kind of get him thinking that, you know, I can make this throw or I can make this play in this situation, you might be able to get him to make a mistake. And as we know, stuff like that with the defense can totally change the outcome of the game. So they're just out of sync. They don't run the ball great, to be honest. They're very much very similar to the Bengals in that sense. And I think, you know, that would be a point of emphasis for them this week, is to be able to run the ball for the same reasons I talked about the Bengals needed to run the ball. They don't want Joe Burrow on the field. As much as around this city, we sit here and we think, okay, well, Josh Allen's coming and Josh Allen's really good and they got this. Well, in Buffalo, they're saying the same thing. Joe Burrow is coming, and Joe Burrow has Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and they walked down the field on us twice in Monday Night Football. So I think it's a very, very similar matchup between these two teams.
Interesting, interesting. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, Austin, on that, a little bit of that theme. The other thing Buffalo did last weekend that the Bengals have a tendency to do is they let Josh Allen have a lot of heat on him. He was hit a lot. He was chased a lot. He was sacked a lot. Do you think our front four, if we do indeed sit back a little bit, we're not blitzing him much, do you think our front four can harass him and do some of those mistakes you were just talking about?
I don't have a lot of reason to believe they can, because they really haven't for the most part of this year. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's production is down, and he's playing with a broken wrist right now. You haven't gotten the same amount of pressure up the middle from DJ Reader and BJ Hill as you'd wanted in the past. Now, they've been terrific in the run game. But that's where they miss Larry Ogunjobi a lot, is being able to rush the passer from that defensive tackle position. And Sam Hubbard has just been kind of a solid guy all year long. What really concerned me on Sunday night was the lack of production from Trey Hendrickson. And again, knowing he's playing with a broken wrist, but you know, Chris Collinsworth talked about this a lot on the broadcast, is he's almost taking himself out of every play. And because of that, Baltimore just kept running the ball at Trey Hendrickson. And to the point where the Bengals took him out, put Cam Sample in there, Hendrickson only played 30 snaps on Sunday night. And we saw a little bit of that previously before in the Baltimore game, where he was only in on pass rush situations. So that's going to be critical, because we see him get close. We see him hurry the quarterback, but he hasn't been finishing at the rate that he was last year. So it's going to be, to me, fully on Trey Hendrickson to be able to create some pressure. And the other thing that I find interesting, we saw it just once on Sunday night, is Mike Hilton out of that slot. Is Lou Anarumo going to get creative and maybe have guys sitting back all game, and then when he's least expecting it, Mike Hilton comes from the slot and tries to make a play on Josh Allen? I think is an interesting wrinkle that Anarumo has to think about. But honestly, I've been disappointed through the course of the season about how little the front four has been able to get home when it's just them. So that's going to be something to watch on Sunday.
Interesting.
Maybe the key to the game.
Could be.
Jamie, we have anything for viewers?
Yeah, we got some viewer questions here. So let's start with this one from Brian. Do you see a situation where Perrine and Mixon are on the field at the same time, potentially using Perrine in a fullback role?
I don't, because that's almost something you never see from the Bengals offense. I think it could happen in a situation where they're kind of flanking, you know, Burrow on each side, and that would be more of a pass protection thing. I think we've seen a lot where they bring Hayden Hurst in behind the offensive line as an extra blocker, or put P. Ryan up there. You know, I think Mixon has done a good job in the receiving game this year, and so maybe you'll see a situation like that where you have P. Ryan back there to pass protect, Mixon out there to run a route, and something that the defense has to think about on both ends. I think that certainly is a possibility, but I don't see P. Ryan being that fullback role. That's just not part of the Bengals offense.
Now, all this talk about the Bengals O-line and obviously the injuries, Phil's wondering, is the Bills O-line that much better than the Bengals?
Well, shout out to Phil. That's my dad. Thank you for watching.
Oh. I didn't even put two and two together there. So my, I'm not a very good producer.
They're about the same, I would imagine. I think they're probably a little bit better. I mean, you talked it, Tom brought up the point about they allow Josh Allen to get hit a lot, and a lot of that is on Josh Allen, but also it's because, you know, there's pressure in his face. And so I don't know how much better it is. That part does give me confidence when you talk about being able to get home with four, that maybe the Bengals could do that. But I don't know that it's significantly better or significantly worse than the Bengals offensive line. Thanks for the question, Dad.
Yeah, actually, try to get your dad on, and you were like Plan B for us. So, you know,
yeah, and we do have enough viewer questions too. We didn't ask his dad to be filler here either.
Well, can we all agree for the record that his dad is better than Tony and Mo as well?
Mm. Wow, I can't comment on that one.
Before we start a fight here, Ty's wondering who do you put the cover Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I'm sick thinking about this.
Or better yet, what two players do you put on cover?
Yeah, this is the part that makes me a little bit nervous, because, I mean, we saw Baltimore all game last week kind of running those slants, setting up the Sluggo route, and finally they got Eli Apple to bite on it, and it turned on a 41-yard touchdown right when they really, really needed it. Eli Apple is just very much like this, right? He's up and down over the course of his career with the Bengals. He was a little bit dinged up this week. I would imagine it's going to be Eli Apple that draws him most of the time. But the thing that's difficult with Buffalo is that it's beyond just Eli Apple. It's also Gabe Davis and Dawson Knox. And the Bengals have struggled defending tight ends at times this year as well. So I think you're going to see a lot of trying to box in Dawson Knox with a guy like Von Bell. And I think it's going to be a lot of rolled coverage with Jesse Bates to wherever Stephon Diggs is at. And that's going to create a situation where Cam Taylor-Britt has to win in one-on-ones with Gabe Davis. So it'll be, like you said, two players on Stephon Diggs all the time. I would imagine it'll be a lot of Jesse Bates and Eli Apple.
All right. I see another one just got flagged here. Josh is wondering, what are the strengths and weaknesses of Buffalo's defense?
Well, they are certainly not the pass rushing team that they were at the beginning of the year. They lose Von Miller to an injury. He's out. And they've kind of struggled in the same way that the Bengals have at being able to get home as frequently as their fans think that they should, or maybe their talent level would suggest that they should. And the other thing is, you know, they have some big names on the back end of their defense, but they've struggled. They've given up some big plays on offense. I mean, you talk about that Miami game, Skylar Thompson, a third string quarterback, he only completes 18 passes, but he's able to make some big plays and find holes in that Buffalo secondary. So I think a lack of consistent linebacker play has created some situations where the middle of the field is open. And so that's where I would imagine the Bengals will try to take advantage of it. And, you know, Buffalo is probably going to play the Bengals the same way that everybody else seems to, which is with two high safeties and force Joe Burrow to make some throws. And let's be honest, Joe Burrow the last 2 weeks has not been MVP level Joe Burrow. I don't get the feeling that that's going to continue much longer, just because, you know, the type of player that he is. And so they're going to challenge Burrow to make those throws, and it's going to be up to him to be able to fit it in those windows. And with the Bills defense, there's been some bigger windows than most defenses. The best defense the Bengals are going to face this entire playoff run was Baltimore, unless they play San Francisco in the
San Francisco.
So there's going to be some opportunities for the Bengals offense. And I know everybody's dreading that. God, not San Francisco again. And that's what I'm thinking too.
That's like, I think Brock Purdy's going to have his rookie game soon along the way. So, obviously want to be respectful of your time. Do you have time for a couple more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Perfect. Jeff would like to know, what did you think about Lou's defensive adjustment with Carter on the end to slow down Dobbins?
Yeah, Zach Carter had his best game as a pro against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night. And you know, this was a guy who I think I tweeted at one point in one of the first games, I was like, Zach Carter does not need to be on the field. Like, he is struggling. He's playing like a rookie. And he's kind of come into his own. He's adjusted to the speed of the NFL. And he was able to move down in that position and kind of set the edge and allow the linebackers to flow into those gaps and cut off the cutback lane for J.K. Dobbins. And the Bengals still got beat on some rush plays there, but Zach Carter being able to get penetration is big. I just talked about how, you know, B.J. Hill and D.J. Reader have struggled to get you know, home in the pass game. If Zach Carter is able to get some penetration like that at that defensive tackle position when DJ Reader is out in more of the pass rush situations, then that could be really beneficial to the Bengals. I was impressed with Zach Carter.
Also, I didn't read the article. I think there was some sort of article today. I don't know if it was Facebook, Twitter, that the NFL supposedly approached the Bills organization and the Kansas City Chiefs about the AFC Championship here. So do you have any other detail on that, or was that just kind of something that was misinformation.
Yeah, no. Alana Gannensburg, I think I said her name right, covers the Bills for ESPN. And she said that the NFL told the Bills and the Chiefs to begin selling AFC championship game tickets for a neutral site. Now, I don't think this is necessarily out of the ordinary, but it is funny to think about it with everything considered. And it kind of just feels like that's the matchup everybody wants. But basically they said that at 10 a.m. tomorrow, those Bills and Chiefs season ticket holders that opted in for AFC championship game tickets will have the chance to buy them. They would go on sale for the Atlanta AFC championship game at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So I make of that what you will. Maybe that's just being proactive in getting that situation set up, but it's also kind of, I liked it because I was like, okay, great. Here's something that the Bengals can use and say, all right, you know, here they go again. So I loved it personally because I know, you know, the guys in that locker room are going to say exactly that. Like, okay, here we go again.
But everyone's losing their mind about this, but you can go on right now and buy tickets if it's Bengals Jaguars, right? So I think
we talked about this, a normal thing. We talked about it on the air today. I think the neutral site tickets are almost double or triple what they would be in Kansas City. So, and I heard somebody, Mo, I think, said it today. He's like, eventually we might have a situation in the NFL where AFC and NFC championship games are neutral sites. Like they go to different cities or they go to the same city, almost like you see college football playoff, right? Where one game's in Atlanta, the other game's in Arizona, and they finish out in Los Angeles. Something along that, I think, wouldn't totally be out of the realm of possibility sometime down the future. I hadn't thought about that till Mo said it today, but I could totally see the NFL.
Hey, we don't reference Mo's comments on this show. Sorry, off.
I'm sure the NFL's
was all my idea.
Likes seeing those expensive ticket prices. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I'll end with one more viewer question here. Sure. Joe would like to know, Austin, who your favorite player is. This could be current, historical, whatever. Who's your favorite Bengals player? If you had to buy one jersey.
For many years, it was Giovanni Bernard, just because I just loved the type of dude that he was. And I thought he should have got the ball about a billion times more than he did when he was in Cincinnati. But for me, it's kind of a two-way tie between Sam Hubbard and Joe Burrow, just because they are Ohio kids just like me. They grew up being Ohio State fans just like me. And they were able to complete the dream of going to Ohio State and then playing for the Bengals, like unlike I was able to do. So there's a lot of living vicariously through them when it comes to Joe Burrow and Sam Hubbard. So for me, it's those two easily.
Yeah, but there is nothing more that would piss off Roger Goodell. Bengals winning this week, throwing a wrench into his damn plans, his sinister plans, and us beating Kansas City Chiefs or whoever the hell they. I would just love to see that at the end of the day. So
it would be pretty funny. I read right before I came on with you guys that most of the sports books are going to be pulling for Jacksonville because they have so many Bills and Chiefs related teasers and parlays and stuff like that. So the sports books at least are going to be pulling for the Bengals and the Jags this weekend.
That would be awesome. So yeah. If that were to happen, let's think hypothetically, if that were to happen, Bengals win, Jacksonville wins, AFC championship game right here at Paycor Stadium.
That's right. You got it.
That'd be cool.
Let's make that shit happen. Let's go. We need one more home tailgate. Let's go.
It's written in the stars.
All right, I guess we'll
be weeping on Park Avenue if that happens.
All right, let's end with this, man. Probably the most important question of the night. Austin, that candle on back here, is that a vanilla scented candle? What is that?
I was going to ask you that.
Let's see here.
I was going to ask if it was essential oils or candles.
Let's go. That is a pumpkin nutmeg pie right there.
Oh, what the hell? How are you breathing right now?
Every show we look for a sound bite, and that's it. That's going to go viral.
Pumpkin nutmeg pie. Right there.
Oh,
Mo is gonna kill you with that.
Sounds like a Christmas present.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the scent?
Pumpkin nutmeg pie.
What the hell? Is that like all the leftover stuff of the candle shop that just sweep it together and make a
pretty
candle?
Much.
Like who the hell would
it's
even
the
mix that?
One that smells the best, so that's what I grabbed.
Oh, this is gonna be
listen, thank you so much. I know you've had like I think 16 minutes of sleep. Since Saturday, producing, hosting your own show, hosting specials, and helping everybody else. So it really means a lot for you to come on. You've been a great friend of the show, and we hope we can ask you certainly to come on again very soon, several times in the next year.
I look forward to it. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Right, thanks, we
Austin. Appreciate
your
time, man.
Be good. Day. Thanks, Austin. Who day?
Hey,
you're sitting there saying. You're sitting there saying he's only had 16 minutes of sleep, and Mark's like, 16? I'll take 16 minutes.
<It's> triple.
Oh, man, I tell you what. So let's talk about this weekend, guys. So I know I'm heading up Friday. I know Tony, you're heading up. When are you heading up? Saturday morning, maybe?
Saturday morning.
Okay. Tony's heading up Saturday morning. There's a boatload of folks going up, guys. It's an amazing amount of Bengal fans. You know, the NFL narrative is that, you know, Bills Mafia, right? They jump on tables and stuff like that, and they travel well. It is, I'm telling you, there's no difference between our passionate fan base and their passionate fan base. Because I'm telling you right now, just to give you an idea, we have an event going on Saturday night. It sold out in about 3 hours today. And now I'm literally getting swamped with text, DMs, and everything about wanting to get into this event. So I think I have it here. So we're doing an event in conjunction with Bengal Bids Saturday night at Resurgence Brewing Company. We have the entire event center there. 450 tickets were pre-sold in about 3 hours. And it looks like we could have more than doubled that with the amount of people that are asking for tickets right now. So keep an eye on it. We do have a post that we'll be doing here probably this evening telling everybody that it's been sold out. There's something else that you can do to tie into this event that night that you're going to want to hear. So we'll get that out to you. And I know we're getting a ton of folks asking about the tailgate Sunday. We are not taking the Bengal bus. We're not going to take our stuff up with Kick from Cincinnati Music Accelerator. The Bengal trailer, who we partner with all the time when we go out of town, they're planning on going up. So we'll be hanging and spending time with the Bengal trailer, bringing Bengal fans together with one tailgate there. Stay tuned. More to come on that. I've been talking to Greg and Rick here pretty much the last couple of days about what's going on up there. I hope the weather has changed for Sunday. Now they're talking, there's an 80% chance of snow. They're talking between an inch or two Sunday. Not sure if it gets worse there at all, but I'll let you know if something changes on that. We'll give you some updates probably tomorrow on what the tailgate's going to be, if any. But the event Saturday night, be on the lookout for posts because we will be posting something. If you weren't able to get a ticket to the main part of that event, there's something else we're going to be doing that you're going to want to be part of that same time at that night as well. I do want to revisit the tailgate, guys. I got a call today. They estimated, what was it, last year, Tony, we estimated about 3,000 people at that Raiders tailgate that we had.
Yep.
Guys, I just got a call today. They estimated almost 4,000. This isn't me making up a damn number out of the air. Almost approximately 4,000 people at this tailgate. Mark will be posting some pictures and videos. If you haven't seen some of them already, Mark was up on the tower. He was taking some videos and pictures on his On the Mark segment. He'll probably be posting some of those things. Guys, I just want to first of all say thank you for everybody being respectful to each other. It gives me joy to look out in that crowd. Tom was there in the VIP area with us as well. To look out amongst that crowd and just endless amount of orange and black. People smiling, having fun, dancing, having fun with each other. It was an electric atmosphere at the tailgate, and we carried it right into the stadium, and it was unbelievable. We had TJ Hushmanzada come by, and he walks in the gate because we had our 10x20 canopy and some other air roped off, and he comes in and he goes, Jim, he goes, what the hell? He goes, I've been told about this, but I had no idea. I've never seen anything like this. And we put TJ on the stage. He wanted DJ Trub to play. What was the song, Tony? Mark? Phil Collins song. I learned something new that night. He literally, that was the song that he listened to pregame every single game that he played in the NFL. Was Phil Collins In the Air Tonight. So we played that.
Nothing beats that. Boom, 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 boom.
Can you imagine TJ in the locker room doing that before every game?
That's our next season. That's our entry, Jamie.
but to see TJ's face, look out on that crowd, and he said, well, I can't remember exactly his comment. He goes,
it was never like this for them.
It was never like this for us. This is amazing. He was thinking. He was truly amazed, and we were getting ready to do the Houday chant. He goes, please, Tony, Jim, stop. I want to get this on my Instagram account, man. So he got his phone ready. And he videoed that. Everybody had their phones lit up and the whole nine yards. But he genuinely had a great time in addressing the crowd and had just a ton of fun there. Jonathan India, the rookie of the year last year for the Cincinnati Reds, shows up yet again from a year to date, that date when he was at that Raiders game. His agent called me early that morning when I was in the parking lot with Mark and setting up. And he wanted to come down again. Sure enough, Jonathan India came down, addressed the crowd. We had Miss Ohio. Who am I missing here? We've had some. Oh, yeah, we had Harrison, the comedian.
Angelo Dawkins, right?
Angelo Dawkins, the wrestler who I went and saw last night wrestle. That dude is crazy athletic. Man, it was just fun to see everybody. And I know I'm being repetitive, but I have to say thank you to certain people here.
Not to interrupt you, but on that, and you and I have talked about this because we've been down there so long. There is nothing in this city that can bring everybody together like that, have us all going in the same direction with the same amount of optimism and energy. than when the Cincinnati Bengals are winning. And this is not, you know, a fluke. I mean, injuries can happen. Certain things can happen. But they're set up for a football generation of this. Every week, every game. And you know, this we had flashes of it in the 80s. There have been certain elements that like to be pessimistic. Maybe they have an agenda, whatever. I think we've moved above and beyond them. And, you know, it is so special that everybody can come together like this. And you know, certainly when we're partial to our tailgate and how special it is, it happens all around the stadium. And then it's carried into the stadium. And the players feel it and appreciate it. But, you know, how special and unique. There is nothing in this city that can bring it together like the Cincinnati Bengals winning, and not just winning, but winning with the class group of players that they have and head coach.
Yep. Tom, I agree, man. I think you and I have been talking about that for a long time. We've been through and seen all this stuff, man, and I agree with you. But, you know, just a quick thank you again to – that was likely our last home tailgate. I think if there's an outside chance we get that we get that dub and Jacksonville actually meets Kansas City, we're coming back, we're doing it again. But if that was our last tailgate, I want to thank everybody personally. And it, look, James is the one to put my damn name on this tailgate. If anybody knows me individually, I'm not an egotistical, arrogant individual. It's not something I wanted to do. They kind of pushed me, him and Craig, marketing minds, wanted to do that. But I would like to thank Tony and Carrie, man, for all the stuff that they've done throughout the year, not just helping at the tailgate, but facilitating the charities. Mark, my gosh, man, this dude right here, I've been a lifesaver. I don't think too many people understand how much work goes into this thing. Mark knows, because Mark's down there early with me setting up hours and hours and hours in advance. We were down there by noon for an 8:15 game, and Mark was working his butt off. James, obviously. Yeah. James, I want to thank James. I want to thank Craig from Beer Fest, Dell from 16 Lots. I think he went through approximately 20 half barrels of beer, you know, Sunday night. I can't even sit here and name all the food vendors, the local restaurants that participating in helping us feed our massive crowds this year. I want to thank every one of them, and just a general thank you across the board. Jungle Joe and Luke for manning the grills for the dogs, the hot dogs and stuff like that. Our annual sponsors, Gold Star Chili, Camp Washington Chili. They've been there for us every year, game in and game out. And these volunteers – we're going to do something special for you in the offseason. Craig and James and I and Tony and everybody have been talking about this. We have 32 volunteers for this game, pouring beers, different hours, different shift, pouring Bengal bombs, helping set up. And the absolute class of you, the Bengal fans that actually participated at the tailgate, the garbage that was collected and put aside and not just thrown all over the damn parking lot, a very – vast majority of you guys have done a great job making sure that lot is as clean as possible before the county comes and tries to clean up. But these volunteers were absolutely awesome, and we're going to be doing something special for you guys in the offseason. We're working on some things for you right now. But I want to say thank you. I know it was long-winded, guys, but I just want to say thanks, everybody, for making it such a special, special 30th anniversary tailgate this year, man. It's just unbelievable. That platform has done so much good for the city, for these charities and everything that is being done. So we appreciate you guys. And I think we have a new one here, a new 2-minute warning, Tom. You haven't heard this one yet. Here we go.
It's the 2-minute warning.
Yeah. Harrison the comedian. Instead of it's a beautiful Sunday, it's the 2-minute warning. Let's go ahead and go around the room here. Let's start with Tony.
Yeah, so to kind of echo what Jimmy was saying, appreciate everyone's help with this year's tailgates, the fans, the charity that we've been able to do, the amazing amount of money that we've been able to help with the game. It was a hell of a win. It was exciting. The atmosphere in there was electric and explosive. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the Houdet Nation up in Buffalo. Rain, snow, sleet, whatever it may be, we'll be there to root for them. We believed it was us, and now they got to play us. Houdet.
Mark?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a great season of tailgating. And, you know, this past Sunday, I think I spoke to 3 or 4 different people. They were just like, man, I love coming down here. This is the best time. Everyone just gets along. And, you know, for a lot of years, tailgating was fun because, you know, let's be honest, the product on the field wasn't the best. So one of the best parts about tailgating is that it makes the game less hurtful if they lose. But
I just have to say I've waited my whole life for this. I think I saw one playoff win prior, and now I've seen, you know, four within in 2 years. So it's just amazing the thing, how things have turned around. I want to thank the organization and just cheer the boys on come Sunday.
Tom?
A couple of things. Well, before we look forward to Buffalo, heard a lot of discussion, a lot of it actually from the East Coast about how lucky we got with the fumble in the jungle and the 98-yard return. To be clear, on that play, that's Logan Wilson and Sam Hubbard making a play. Just like a couple weeks earlier, as New England was driving, Von Bell going in and forcing a fumble. That's Von Bell and the Bengals defense forcing a play. Last year in the AFC Championship, Jesse Bates and Von Bell making a great defensive play. There's no flukes there. Those are great players for the Bengals making great big plays. So the Bengals went out and earned that win Sunday night. No fluke, no anything else. They just beat the Ratbirds. And, I'm sure the Ratbirds will think about it a little bit in the offseason, and good for them. They need something to do other than buy a U-Haul for Lamar Jackson. But in looking forward, I think that we're in a position that even with the offensive line and the coaches we have, we can be confident enough that if the Bills play their best game Sunday and the Bengals play their best game with the quarterback we have, I think it's going to be a heck of a game. But I think the guys will come back with a victory. So, again, thank you for all your support, whether it be at Jimmy's tailgate or on here all year. And we'll look to see you Tuesday night with a win. Let's throw it over to Jamie. I'm going to do my best boomer aside.
All right, there we go. We're getting better at this. Too bad we're almost at the end of the season. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, I watched the game up here with a couple friends, and they were shocked that it was as close as it was. And I tried to explain to them, this is AFC North football. We knew this was going to be a battle. It's the third time playing this team this season. And I'm so thankful for that 98-yard touchdown. That was great to watch. I have to say, I do feel bad for Whitworth, though, after a week of telling people he doesn't play on the right side. An opening comes up on the left-hand side, and his Twitter goes crazy again. So glad he came on the show and cleared that up, that he's not coming back. But I do feel bad watching on Twitter everyone tagging him now that there's an opening on the left. I'm looking forward to Buffalo. I'm looking forward to coming down and seeing you guys. It's a short drive for me. I'm hoping to come down Saturday night, but I'm definitely at the game, Section 121 on Sunday. And I'm going to do the same prediction I did before we played the Bills last time. Two interceptions for our defense. Josh Allen's going to have not going to have a good game. Bengals win.
Oh, I'll take it all day. Take it all day. Again, I can't wait to hang with Jamie, have some beers with Jamie. Last time I got to do that was in New York. It was one of the Jets games. So hopefully Jamie can get up there Saturday. If not, we'll see him at the game. Tony, what section are you sitting in again? I know we're close, but.
I'm 121.
121?
You're 121 as well?
Cool. I am. Okay.
Say we're what row? Maybe you guys are sitting next to each other. Come on.
I think I'm a little higher up. I think I'm row 28.
I'm row 3.
Okay. We got another group of us in 117 lower in the bowl there. But if you have not got tickets and you're looking to go up there, go to any of these secondary ticket marks that don't charge fees. TickPick, there's a bunch of them out that don't charge fees. Use them. The prices actually went down the last couple of days. Tony, is that what you saw as well?
Yeah, and actually today I noticed that the NFL Exchange ticket on Ticketmaster, they released a shitload of extra tickets. There's a lot more tickets available than there was a few days ago.
Yeah. I just got a message from James. He's leaving the Syracuse University bookstore, but he's confirming too while he's up there scouting out everything that ticket prices are going down and are actually as I read also online today, expected to do so all week.
Yeah, I do know we have some Canadian fans that watch the show. If there happens to be somebody from Canada who is going to the game, my section, I have $400, section 121. They're going on for like $590, I think, online on the resale market. That's 400 Canadian, guys. That's a great deal. Okay, 400 Canadian. And I've got a couple left in that section I can hook somebody up with if they're looking for tickets.
That's awesome. So again, from the Cincinnati, it's about a seven-hour drive up there. So this could be something you could do game day early if you wanted to. But we'll see you guys this weekend. If not Saturday, we'll see you Sunday at some point. Guys, back-to-back playoffs for the first time in Bengal history. Joe Burrow at the helm, and this is his fourth straight playoff victory. Guys, what gives me hope about this team with the offensive line and a little bit of a potential having issues there, Joe Burrow's at quarterback. And I do agree with Austin, even with the injuries we have and the guys filling in, this offensive line is better than what we had last year, and we made it to the Super Bowl, guys. But I think this will be a hell of a game, man. So we will see you guys Sunday. Hootay, have fun no matter where you're watching a game at, whether you're in Buffalo or at home or a bar or wherever you're at. We love you guys. Thank you so much. And we'll see you in Buffalo. Hootay.
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 Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.